I declare the meeting open at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance at the City of Melbourne. I request that all mobile phones be turned to silent for the duration of the meeting. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Should there be any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council Business Team after the meeting. The agenda comprises one report from committee, 14 reports from management, 8 of which are confidential, and 2 items of general business. No apologies have been received. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Could I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 7, held on Wednesday the 26th of April, and special council meeting number 8, held on Thursday the 4th of May. Thank you, Councillor Oates. Seconded, Deputy Lord Mayor. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Any matters arising from the minutes of the previous open meetings? In that case, the following submissions were received in accordance with the council's meeting procedures code. In relation to agenda 5.2, improvement to hoarding appearance, an item of correspondence from Tristan Davies. In relation to agenda item 6.3, Pathways Innovation Package Funding, an item of correspondence from Luke Dowling. In relation to agenda item 7.1, notice of motion from Councillor Oak, City of Melbourne support for the Victorian Renewable Energy Targets, 41 submissions were received. In relation to agenda item 7.2, notice of motion from the Deputy Lord Mayor, City of Melbourne Tobacco Investments, items of correspondence from Maurice Swanson, Gerald Rector and Claire Grace. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of confidential agenda items 6.7 to 6.14? In that case, there is one report from committee for consideration in the open session. Could I call on Councillor Rees as Chair of the Planning Portfolio of the Future Melbourne Committee to present agenda item 5.1?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. So this is item 5.1, proposed new road discontinuance and sale policy. The purpose of this report was to seek approval of a proposed new road discontinuance and sale policy and the introduction of an application fee of $2,500 for each application for discontinuance. I move the recommendations contained in the council report and which are viewable on the screens. I move the recommendation.
Seconded, Councillor Leppard. Councillor Rees, do you wish to speak to the motion?
Simply to say that some very good work has been done by council officers since this matter was last contemplated being considered by council, and we are now quite happy with the checks and balances that are in place around the discretion provided to council in dealing with these matters.
Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. First thing to say is that this is not a report from committee. It's a deferral from the previous council meeting, but I also support it and thank officers for the work that's been done since the last council meeting. The threshold for subscale land has essentially disappeared. And I think it's a very reasonable thing, especially with more details around what we mean by market value, the selling of private land that has no owner has come into council's remit to on sale, if and where that is appropriate. We'll go through those processes. Can I thank the officers for suggesting the new form of words to us? And I certainly hope the policy serves us well in future.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against the motion? Further speaker for the motion? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. This concludes the reports deferred from previous council for consideration. In open session, there are 6 reports from management for consideration. The first is records of assemblies of councillors. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? I'm sure that's right. In that case, can I call on a council to move this motion? Deputy Lord Mayor, seconded Councillor Oak. Deputy Lord Mayor, do you wish to speak to it? Councillor Oak? No. Further speaker? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.2 is improvement to hoarding appearance. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I have a councillor to move this, please? Councillor Leppard, is it seconded? Councillor Watts, thank you. Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. At the moment, we do not have particular conditions that we require developers to adhere to when they are erecting hoardings on our land, other than that the hoardings must be kept clean, blank in some cases, and that bills should be removed. I think that's unfortunate. We're now moving towards a system where we are beautifying the city. Melbourne is, of course, undergoing intense development at the moment, and there are quite a few hoardings in the public realm around private building sites dotted around the central city in particular. This is an opportunity to help employ some Melbourne artists or an artist or an organisation to come up with a series of designs that can be used by developers to beautify the public realm where there is development being undertaken. It won't cover everything. It won't cover those projects that are large state government-led projects, and we're not able to direct that hoardings take a particular style if they're on private land. However, I think that this is a very innovative way of beautifying the city and doing something more with all of those hoardings that we do see around the place that we do have some control over. I think it's done in such a way that is not going to be a large impost on developers, but it's also not going to be a burden on the City of Melbourne to ensure that there's a large series of artworks commissioned. We're going for a simple and innovative process, and I thank the arts officers for suggesting it to us. I think it is very good. I've had quite a few emails, and I'm sure other councillors have as well, over the last few days from artists and other companies who are looking at erecting billboards or using their company to go through this process, or even a suggestion of green hoardings. I think that that would overcomplicate things a little bit in this instance. This is going to be a two-year trial, and we can see how that goes and see if there are any opportunities for improvements over the course of those 2 years. But I think that we need to give this a go, and I again thank officers. Let's give it a go.
Councillor Watts.
Yes, I agree that this is progress for our city. I recall several years ago, Councillor Louis and myself were in Europe looking at what was being done there, and at that time we longed for such a beautification of Melbourne, and I see this as moving towards that. I note that there is excitement around the possibilities for our creative community, and I note this particular approach, and it is an approach which will be presumably assessed. This approach includes the necessity of the developers assuming responsibility for maintaining the artwork while their hoardings are in place. This is a brave step for the City of Melbourne and a long overdue one.
Is there a speaker against the motion? Further speaker to the motion? Councillor Oak.
Well, just following on from Councillor Leppard, obviously I support the recommendation and understand the time that's gone into this and the process that is before us in the report around the trial and the specifically about commissioning artwork. But like Councillor Leppard, I've also received emails about fairly late in the piece, just late this afternoon, talking about the use of hoardings around urban greening, and I guess it's just a comment, not a suggestion for this particular piece, but that there are further conversations around not just hoarding on public land but also on private land, and how there are many projects within council across our silos that are looking at urban greening, and whether that's also an idea to look at greening our laneways and greening our hoardings is an idea that should be considered in the deliberations of this trial.
Further contribution to debate? In that case, does the member wish to conclude debate? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.3 is Pathways Innovation Package Funding. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I have a councillor move it, please? Thank you, Councillor Sullivan. Is it seconded? Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you, Councillor Sullivan. Would you like to speak to it?
Yeah, I'd just like to commend the officers and my fellow councillors as well.
Hang on. Given that this is for the Lord Mayor's Charitable Foundation, and I am the patron of the Lord Mayor's Charitable Foundation, I might ask the Deputy Lord Mayor to take the chair while you discuss this issue.
Councillor Sullivan, you may continue.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor Aaron Wood, Acting Lord... This report gives an update on the $2 million Pathways Innovation Package that Council released in December. All parts of the package are up and running with our partners, Launch Housing, Melbourne City Mission, Salvation Army, Council to Homeless Persons and Home Ground Real Estate. The report recommends that Council contributes the final $1.2 million to the Lord Mayor's Charitable Foundation rather than allocate $1.2 million to a housing fund as originally intended. The officers have recommended this due to the significant state government investments in housing since we made our original decision back in December, and we don't want to duplicate what the state government does. We want to use our funding where we can make the biggest impact. This contribution to the Lord Mayor's Charitable Fund will allow many important projects to be delivered. The Lord Mayor's Charitable Foundation has homelessness and housing as one of its impact areas, and they are a long-standing partner of the City of Melbourne in addressing homelessness. So we're very much looking forward to continuing our relationship with them. Many good ideas have been sent to us through recent consultations about the proposed amendment to the local law, and I chair the Homeless Advisory Committee, and I know that there are many good ideas that have been suggested to us. This fund will be able to consider all big and bold ideas and help us make a difference to this important issue. Additional contributions can also be made to the fund from businesses and people in Melbourne who want to make a difference. And like everything we do, we will provide people who have experienced homelessness to assist us and the Lord Mayor's Charitable Foundation to allocate this funding. So I'd just like to commend the officers and councillors on this innovation package.
Thanks, Councillor Sullivan. As seconder, I completely agree with you. I think this is a good move in terms of actually putting the money where it will be able to be added to, hopefully by other organisations, the philanthropies, and to realise the full breadth of those many suggestions that we've had come into us as well. And this is in combination with those already funded initiatives such as our street teams, our nighttime safe spaces. So this is really adding up to a really comprehensive package when it comes to addressing the issue of homelessness. So very happy to support this, thanks to the work of our officers. And would any other councillor like to speak to this? Councillor Watts.
Thank you. Yes, I would agree with all that has been expressed so far. I think it's a particularly appealing vehicle through which to channel the goodwill that is in council and, I hope, attract the goodwill that we have in our city. I'm sure very important ideas that have already come forward from those who understand the complexity of the problem we're facing in Melbourne will be able to find expression through this particular approach that we are adopting.
Thanks, Councillor Watts. Any other speakers? Councillor Oak?
I would like to support the recommendation wholeheartedly. I think it's a really innovative approach especially for the $1.2 million to be given to the Lord Mayor's Charitable Fund. It's written twice in the report, different ways. It's a great organisation, and I really appreciate the way that they undertake the distribution of their funds. And I think that this is really an innovative way to spend or to use and distribute the funds in this in this way.
Thanks, Councillor Oak. Any other speakers to this, Councillor Lee?
Thanks, Acting Lord Mayor, and I'd like to support it, but at the same time, having recently attended the Victoria Young Achiever Awards, where many of the nominees and also the winners were all had a social enterprise, idea. Something like this is always going to be great, and how can you not support anything with the word innovation in it, right? So, but for me, I think it was also it's the fact that, for example, I met one of the winners, and it was about the homeless in Melbourne Incorporated Enterprise, and the idea, and this would actually provide that kind of support to something along that idea. So I'd like to support that. I also want to note the great work that our daily support team is doing. The feedback, especially from the business, is that the turnaround time for that is really great. So just want to commend the officers and everyone involved.
Any further speakers? Councillor Sullivan, would you like to close? If not, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? I declare that carried unanimously. Call for the Lord Mayor to be brought back in.
Item 6.4 is the Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Program Reserve Quarterly Report. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, can I call on a councillor to move this motion? Deputy Lord Mayor, is it seconded? I'm happy to say, Councillor Liu, thank you. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Obviously, my microphone has been overcome by the cold in this room. So this is as per a previous resolution for us to report on this separate vehicle, I guess, if you could call it that. Currently, the fund stands at $15.81 million. That's over the life of the fund since December 2015. Program expenditure to date is $10.3 million. And the reserve balance at 31st of March 2017 is $5.51 million. An outline of the expenditure is also included there, and I'm happy to accept this quarterly report for the reserve.
Councillor Liu, is there a further contribution to debate? In that case, I'll move the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.5 is the 2016-17 Council Works Program, the third quarter report. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? I think we have a slightly amended report there, so I'll just remind people of that when I ask for someone to move and to second it. Someone move the support? Deputy Lord Mayor. Seconded. Councillor Liu. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Obviously, a full range of projects are reported on as part of this report, with a few adjustments, which we can see there in 4.2.1, 4.2.2 and 4.2.3. We just remove the word proposed, because once we approve the adjustments, they're no longer proposed. You'll see some reclassification of capital to maintenance, primarily around the largest chunk being the LED lighting project, because we don't actually own the asset at the end of that, so that's fairly self-explanatory. A further $509,000 to support the delivery of the highly successful and highly supported Greener Laneway pilot project. And a transfer of $500,000 into the corporate renewal works to support completion of security improvements as well. The addition there is an increase in allocation for the North Melbourne Synthetic Court installation project, which accommodates the two tenders that have been received. So a budget increase there of $491,157. I'm happy to commend this recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Liu.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think for the financial performance, I would like to get an explanation from Rob in regards to the 1,851% increase as part of the... Just explained the reason behind that.
Lord Mayor, through you, that arises because of a reclassification of a capital item, namely the LED lighting, to the maintenance section, and that's mainly because there will be a grant attributed to that, and we won't end up owning that asset. That is why that figure is actually changed there.
Thank you. Further contribution to debate? Councillor Oak.
I was just having a side conversation. The only thing I'd say is I support this recommendation and note the management's report, and just say that it's always exciting reading these reports given the amount of projects that we do and the range of the capital works investments that the city does. And I know this is all about changing some money from one project to another at the end of this quarter, but it's exciting just even looking at this list in front of us here, but reading the whole report, it's always impressive what the City of Melbourne is doing for our community.
Thank you. Further contribution to debate? I'll just make a very brief one to agree with Councillor Oak. It's not just listing our projects in great detail, it's showing the cumulative progress and then very detailed reporting on the large projects, including whether they're on track or need attention, with the plans to bring them back on track. We're always very ambitious with this program, maybe a little too ambitious, but as you say, in the end, you can look at each one of these projects and say individually they're of great merit, but collectively they add up to quite a remarkable palette of major works for our city, and we seem to be doing it every single year. Further contribution to debate? Mover wish to close debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.6 is the Microsoft Software Enterprise Agreement. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I have a councillor move this, please? Deputy Lord Mayor, is it seconded? Councillor Liu. Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. This is as a result of a whole of Victorian government contract process. This is the licensed service provider Microsoft, and essentially entitles us to use of the full range of their software. It supports our move, as many organisations are doing, to move their operations to the cloud. It's not a small amount of money, $2.102 million over the term, but does allow us for that period of 3 years access to the full range of software. Obviously, there's some inbuilt issues around volume should numbers of staff increase and potential adjustments there, but the commitment that it won't exceed $2.102 million over the term.
Thank you. Second to wish to speak? Is there further contribution to debate? Councillor Francis Gilley.
I think it just would have been useful if in the report, given that it's a three-year commitment, I understand that we've got the funding in the first year's budget, but it may have been useful in the report to point to the fact that it is part of our strategy to have this going forward, because it's a commitment for 3 years, and so it would be useful if that was recognised as, you know, part of the strategy and a commitment over the longer period of time. Thanks.
Thank you. Further contribution to debate? Mover wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. This concludes the reports from management to be considered in open session. There are two items of general business. The first is a notice of motion standing in Councillor Oak's name, the City of Melbourne's support for the Victorian renewable energy targets, and I ask Councillor Oak to move that.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I so move the notice of motion on the screen.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you. Councillor Oak.
Well, it is as it is. The City of Melbourne has got a good track record with respect to leading in sustainability, and we announced a fairly large renewable energy target as well in the last council, and it's something that we should be proud of. But I also note that it's something we do want to see extended and a larger target in the future, and we're not going to be able to get to a larger renewable energy target if we don't have support from other levels of government. And so last year, when the state government announced its renewable energy targets, obviously the city was excited and wholeheartedly supported it, and this motion is about not only recognising their targets but indicating our strong support for the passage of the legislation through the Victorian Parliament, which hopefully happens sooner rather than later, given the significance of targets such as these, the incentives for renewable energy industry in our state that it will bring are significant. Positioning Melbourne as a hub for renewable energy investment is something that we should be very proud of if it occurs, and again, I'm really encouraged by the opportunities that this should bring. It's a project, essentially a project of state significance. It's about jobs growth, it's about economics, it's about driving...
Jobs and growth.
Sorry?
Jobs and growth.
Jobs and growth, Lord Mayor. This is what renewable... It's about jobs and growth, and but also, obviously, it's also about decarbonising our electricity stream, and that's something that the city has been supporting for a long time. And we have a zero net emission strategy, but we know that even though we have a target of 2020, it's a very big ask when our energy source is not from renewable supplies. And we are obviously trying to go around those barriers and finding initiatives such as our Melbourne Renewable Energy Project, you know, finding other ways that we can source energy from more, less dirty products. But we need other levels of government, as I've already said. So this is supporting the state government's renewable energy targets, hoping it passes through the state parliament sooner rather than later, and looking forward to the opportunities that it brings, and especially for the City of Melbourne, we see this as a great incentive and long-term finance security that we need if we want to extend our 25% target, which I believe we do and we should.
Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Congratulate Councillor Oak on bringing this. I think it's a great thing to have a state government which is going to support our local government target of 25% by 2018. Theirs is 25% by 2020, so we're hoping to reach ours a little bit earlier, but any alignment there is going to help either of us in delivering each of our targets. I think the critical one is that one that Councillor Oak alluded to, which is beyond 2020, which is 40% by 2025. So if you think about 40% by 2025, that's where the real heavy lifting has to begin. We had the good news that we're on track to meet the national renewable energy target, which is great, but that really doesn't have anything beyond that target, and that's where business certainty, investor certainty, where the markets are really calling for these long-term policies to allow what are significant financial commitments and investments to be made. If you look at the VRET, they're looking at about $9 billion of investment over the life of the VRET, 11,000 construction jobs. So, yes, it is about jobs and growth, absolutely, but it's also about providing a really logical, reasoned, objective and data-driven transition, which sends a strong market signal and de-risks a lot of these investments into the future. So wholeheartedly support this.
Is there a speaker against the motion? Is there a further speaker for the motion? Councillor Liu.
First of all, I've got to say, hearing Cathy say jobs and growth, I think Malcolm Turnbull would be very, very happy to hear that, because I've been saying that for the last year or so. Look, I support the, I guess, renewable. It's the way to go for the future, and you know, the numbers, you cannot argue against that. I do have my concern in regards to, I guess, the enormous pressure that's put on, I guess, our energy supply at the moment, given that Hazelwood will be closing in March, and the amount of work that we need to get to the 25 and the 40%. For me, I just don't want an interest to, I guess, help our business to you know, put the, to switch the lights on and do what they do. They need to have that, you know, power supply. And seeing what happened in South Australia, it's something that I don't want that to happen in Melbourne. So I hope, you know, it does. We will work on it. I think it's the right way for the future. It's something that we need to do, but at the same time, not at a cost where many of our business will suffer. So, thank
you. Further contribution to debate, Councillor Francis Kelly.
So I guess would also like to support the motion. I'd say in terms of our transport strategy, we've got a transport strategy here that we want a city that's livable, that we're going to walk around, that we can cycle around. And to do that, we're going to come into the city with public transport. Currently, we have an electric public-driven public transport, which is great if we shift to renewables. If it's not, if we don't shift to renewables, we don't meet our own policy of actually becoming a more carbon-neutral city. So it's imperative for us that that shift happens. And I think just to respond to the point, if we were to believe what energy companies say, that, you know, we have to, as AGL tells us every day at the moment, we'll have to wait until 2023 before we even start considering this, because at 2050 they will have run out of their coal supplies, and at that point they'll be happy to help us move to renewables, we'll be in trouble. You know, we really must watch and be careful about who we're listening to in this. We are a country that could move to renewables extraordinarily quickly, but we have a lobby that owns 25 years of coal and actually needs to remove that asset before it shifts. This is absolutely their, it was the position they took. It's not our position, and we don't have to be worried about that.
Councillor Sullivan. No? Any further contribution to debate? I'll just say briefly, I support this as well. I think the idea of certainty of investment is particularly important. I take Councillor Francis Gillies' point. The biggest users of power in the state now are the tram and the train network. The government's announced one of them is moving to renewables. We've been banging on about that for about, I think, the last 7 years, but that's a good move. And we can tell from our own CLUE data, this is good business for us. when you look at the growth in jobs in clean tech and in renewable energies, you know, that they are growing rapidly in the city of Melbourne, and we wish to see that continue. So I thank Councillor Oak for bringing this, and I'm delighted to support it. Mover wish to conclude debate?
Just briefly, I didn't mention the 41 submissions that we received in support. I guess that shows the indication that there are others that are waiting for this legislation to also pass and to get on with investing in renewable energy. So I'd like to acknowledge that support. It's a debate for another day, with all due respect. I thank you for your support, Councillor Liu, but a bit of fake news that you might have listened to, but it wasn't the renewable energy sector that caused the lights to go off in Adelaide, but that's a debate for another time, but maybe we can discuss that later. But I don't think that we should continue to perpetuate that myth.
I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 7.2 is notice of motion standing in the name of the Deputy Lord Mayor. Would you care to move it? And I'm happy to second it.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. World No Tobacco Day tomorrow, so this is very timely, but interestingly, this motion had its life about 3 months ago at a forum on public health, and an oncologist there actually approached me, Bronwyn King, and what I was surprised to learn living in this country with the well-known fact and the great research that we do here, and that's why I'm really proud that the Lord Mayor is seconding this motion. Obviously as Lord Mayor, but as Chairman of Melbourne Health in his profession, knows only too well the sorts of tolls that that tobacco takes on people and on families. But I was surprised when Bronwyn informed me that 50% of super funds in Australia are still invested in tobacco. And I thought that was pretty bad. And she said, no, we're doing really well in terms of the world. We're actually leading in terms of divestment from tobacco. So this motion has a number of parts to it. It talks first about the fact that we have the World Health Organization Framework Convention stating that government institutions shouldn't invest in tobacco. So this really helps us align with that. The pleasing thing is that City of Melbourne has no direct investments in tobacco, so this will formalise that commitment when our investment policy is next reviewed. The next part this targets is our default super provider, Vision Super. I had a meeting with them today. They're obviously working through another request from us to divest from fossil fuels, so they add this one to the list. They've still got... it's estimated, because we couldn't get a direct answer on their full exposure, but it's estimated across $9 million portfolio, $67 million of that would be invested in tobacco, so they haven't formally divested, and we will request them to do so. The other part of this is our transactional banking, and again, this is about sending a market signal where we will ask the exposure of those large financial institutions to the tobacco industry, and that will form part of who we award our transactional banking contracts to. The 1.5... Excellent. One day these microphones will work.
That.
1.5 there is where the Lord Mayor will actually write to the Premier of Victoria expressing our support for the introduction of legislation to formally ban political parties from accepting donations from the tobacco industry, and also because there's a bit of a grey area in terms of what that constitutes, is to limit interactions with representatives from the tobacco industry. So I commend this recommendation or this motion to Council. I hope I get the support of my fellow councillors, and I just acknowledge that so many other organisations are with us on this: AMP, Bank of New Zealand, Medibank Private, HESTA, Vic Super, First Rate Super, Uni Super, Local Government Super. So the list goes on and on. We're really on the right side of this.
Thank you. This is very personal for me. My mother died very horribly of lung cancer after a lifetime of smoking. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, I am not with Vision Super and opted for an alternative superannuation fund. You're quite right, my work at Melbourne Health, we see people And one of the tough things that we have to do is when the clientele that we deal with, the million people from Melbourne who come to us at their most vulnerable, are addicted to smoking even when they're at their most ill. And we can barely get them to move away from the entry to the hospital, though we offer them to support to even stop smoking while they're undergoing very serious surgical procedures. It's very difficult. One of the major things that we did in this state was introduce Vic Health. And it had a primary focus around stopping people smoking because of the harm that it causes in later life and the terrible health outcomes that result from it. So I'm delighted to support this. I as a rule, don't like to be asked through recommendations to write to people, but the Deputy Lord Mayor did raise this with me and I indicated that I would be pleased to write to the Premier seeking that political donations not be taken from any tobacco company. Is there a speaker against the motion? Is there a further speaker for the motion?
Yes.
Councillor Watts.
I would like to commend the work of Bronwyn King in this. This seems to me to be a very savvy approach to impacting the appalling tobacco industry where it hurts the most, and that's around their financial arrangements. I'm delighted that the city is stepping forward in this way.
Further contribution to debate? Mover wish to close debate?
Just very briefly, Lord Mayor, I did the same thing that Councillor Oak did on her motion. I'd just like to acknowledge the submissions from the Australian Council on Smoking and Health. ACOSH actually represents 47 organisations who are supportive of our stance, should this get the support. Vic Health, who you mentioned, have also submitted, as have Quit Victoria as well.
Thank you. In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. This concludes the items of general business to be considered in open session. Are there any items of proposed urgent business? In that case, I call on the Council to move the motion displayed on the screen to close the meeting to the public to consider items of confidential business. Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Seconded, Councillor Riley. I'll now put that motion to the vote. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. I want to thank members of the public for their interest and attendance and declare the open meeting closed to the public at 6:07 p.m.